This is North Shore Today for Friday, the 2nd of October. Hello, everyone. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore, and we're here to talk about some of the issues of the day here on the North Shore as we do each and every day here on MSONewsSports.com. And it is Friday. That means it's we're counting down to kickoff tonight for our 7 o'clock games here on MSONewsSports.com. That's what we do on Friday nights here in the fall is high school football. We have a couple of big ones. We'll talk about those games in just a moment because we'll also feature two of the coaches from our game of the night, really, in the Northeastern Conference with Revere, undefeated, playing host to Gloucester. They're undefeated in league play. And so it's Gloucester and Revere tonight at 7. We'll keep our fingers crossed for live video streaming, but with the weather forecast that we have for tonight, with the inclemency, it may not happen, but we'll definitely have live radio for the broadcast. And again, Rick Moore is here with us. And so we'll feature both of those coaches as part of today's North Shore Today.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the new stadium over there. And I'm guessing the press box is enclosed and will keep us dry. Yeah, we don't have the wherewithal, you know, in stormy horizontal rain to shoot video. We just can't protect the equipment. So if it's really bad, we're not going to be able to do the video. But I think people will understand that. We'll definitely have the audio. And according to the coaches, as you've been mentioning all week, Bill, if it's not lightning, if there's no lightning, then they should be playing. And I think we're in for a stormy night. But, what do they say? Football players play football. Kearns had a good one. My wife quotes him all the time. You know, if you wanted to stay dry, you should join the chess club.
Well, you know, Rick, the stadium, and just for all of the Gloucester listeners there, it's in the same place as the old stadium. It's great. It's fantastic. It's got the turf, and these new turf stadiums, if it's raining, you can play on it. You're not going to destroy it. You're not going to ruin it. You can play on it because it's going to be okay. It's in the same spot as the old stadium. Just go down Broadway after the rotary there at the bottom of 107 and Route 6107. Go down. And, Rick, your landmarks are Walgreens on the right, followed immediately by a small fire station, and take your right, and boom, there you are, right there at the new stadium.
Well, somehow I figure that we'll get there. We're going to leave plenty early, so I'm sure we'll get there. And, should be great. Good rivalry between the two schools. Two coaches, very enthusiastic, good teams, and so on. So it should be a fun night. And if you're not going there, you can sit in the comfort of your own living room or wherever and listen in.
And the other game tonight on Channel B, we'll find Lynn English playing host to Beverly High School. Panthers roll in probably the largest ship in the Navy right now in North Shore High School football, the way they're rolling over opponents, but we'll see what happens. It'll be a tough one for the Bulldogs tonight at Manning Field, but that'll be live on Channel B with Marty Smith and our own Tim, the quotable Tim Kearns here on MSONewsSports.com. And I like to remind people to take a look at our posts that we have, the football preview posts, where we have a football preview program, and we also have different coaches' interviews that you can click on and listen to prior to the game, so you're all informed before you head out to those games tonight. And including in there is our interview we did earlier this week with the Ipswich football coach Kevin Fassett, who was in his first year there. They picked up their first win. And also we're featuring Steve Hayden this week, the Pentucket football coach who earned his 200th coaching win last week against Triton. His team is 3-0, and they're playing at Newburyport tonight. So there's a lot of things happening.
Yeah, I think we should mention, too, the coaches are taking the – they're taking the time to talk with us, and we appreciate that, either in person or by phone. And they are promoting the kids, and they're very busy. It's being a high school coach in any sport takes a heck of a lot of time, so we appreciate it. But I want to mention on the front page of the Times, the Gloucester Times today, there are three stories regarding education on Cape Ann, and two of them have to do with MCAS. And in Gloucester, the headline says city's MCAS score is better than last year, and they did very well. The high school students did very well in English. 94% of Gloucester High School students tested as proficient or advanced in the English language art section. And I'm trying to look at the math dealy here. In math, it's 91% also, I believe. 81% advanced or proficient. So improvements everywhere, and Gloucester is a The high school's a comprehensive high school, and everybody gets tested. The other thing, there's a headline from Rockport. Top 10th graders score well on test in Rockport. There is some controversy, however, brewing over the park testing, and I'm glad to hear that. And then one other thing, Bill, I want to mention is that the Times has a story from a State House reporter, Christian Wade, that Hillary Clinton was in town for a forum yesterday in Boston, and she mentioned Gloucester Police Chief Leonard Campanello's Angel program, which allows addicts to turn in drugs at the police station and be steered into treatment without being arrested, saying the effort should be replicated. So, presidential candidate mentioning Gloucester's Angel program.
Did she mention us at all, Rick? The MSO News Sports website. Did she mention the news stories that you've been doing on the program?
If so, it's in page two. I haven't looked in page two yet, so I'll take a look and I'll get back to you.
What's that called? Going to the fold or going to the cut? I guess that's what it's called. Going to the cut, right? Going to the next page. I think that's what it's called. I'm not a newspaper person. I'll have to ask Steve Krause next time we talk to get the old time newspaper terms that they used to use. Speaking of the item, and speaking of Gloucester, and speaking of politics here, Rick, here's a story. Which some of you folks in Gloucester may not know this story, but now I don't know. There was a McKean that is running for mayor in Gloucester, right? No,
McGeary.
I'm sorry. Okay, that's okay. So I stand corrected. Here's a story on the front page, but on the bottom of the front page in the item today, and it involves a Gloucester resident, but a Lynn Tech teacher. Jeremy McKean is running for president. This is a story by Thor Jorgensen. I need to read it kind of word for word just so I don't mess it up too much here, just for a moment here. Jeremy McKean is running for president. That's right, president of the United States. And the Lynn Vocational Technical Institute English teacher said he already has a campaign slogan. The slogan is, "It's McKean the Dream in 2016. This guy from Gloucester. This is one of your people, Rick. The 36-year-old Democrat McKean meets the constitutional requirement for running for president by a year, so he's 36, you have to be 35, filled out the Federal Election Commission forms, and started to collect 2,500 certified voter signatures required under Massachusetts law to get his name on the March 1 primary ballot. Now, to date, he has three signatures, but has said that he has several hundred Facebook supporters in his decision to aim high and dream big. He has captured Lynn Tech director Robert Bontempo's attention. I think he might attract the attention of the principal over there. Let me just see. Now I have to go.
For more than one reason, yeah. McKean the Dream in 16.
McKean the Dream in 16. And he says, why not? It's exciting and it'll bring us back to our roots. We the people, Bontempo said. McKean's wife, Tanya. So, folks, Tanya McKean up in Gloucester is not among his backers. He has said that she likes Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders. I hope to win her support, McKean said. So he's a Gloucester resident, a New Jersey native, and he has lived locally for 15 years. And it goes on. So, Link Chafee, look out. There's Chafee's, I think, at the 0% on those polls, running for the Democratic nomination along with the governor of Maryland, Hillary, and of course Bernie Sanders and probably others. But add McKean to that name. He's not on the ballot yet. He's only 2,496 or 97 signatures short of getting on that ballot. So I would think if he passed that around the Lynn Tech Teachers Lounge, he could get a few more signatures for that.
I don't know, Bill. There might be a message there if your own wife is not supporting you. I don't know. I got to be a little skeptical about this one.
Well, listen, folks. Sometimes you flip on a program like this, and it's grassroots, it's local, and this could be the start of something big. You know what I mean? It really could be. Now, here's my brush with greatness. Bernie Sanders used to come to my high school cafeteria years ago when he was running for election up in Vermont. You know, so that was years and years and years ago. I can remember him coming by. A grassroots guy. So now he's what they say collected $20 million in the last quarter. So he's very close to collecting the same kind of money that Hillary Clinton collected, and he has he's had a lot less fundraisers. He's had like four fundraisers. She's had like 50 in that time. And So we'll see what happens. But we haven't talked a lot of politics on this program, but it's about time. And thank you, Mr. McKean, the Dream in 16, for letting us do that today. Great story. Again, it's on the front page, bottom part of the item in Lynn.
Well, I wonder, you know, we'll have to get our expert, Tim Kearns, on that, because Tim is our constitutional expert, and he will know more as to how these grassroots things might work. But along the same line, Bill, you know, maybe Josh Arnold can get a hold of Mr. McKean and have him on Josh's Trending Now program, which will be on Fridays from 10 to 11. He's got a lot of he's got candidates from all over the North Shore lined up today, so it should be interesting to see what the take is on that.
All right. Okay, so those are some of the things we've got. We hope you all stay dry this weekend. It looks like Joaquin is going to wobble offshore a little bit. And, again, the European model wins out. Although, if I'm looking at the track, it's not the true first call of the European model earlier this week. Are you a weather nut, Rick? Do you follow that closely or not? Not really?
Usually, well, yeah, we do. You know, it's great to have the weather apps. And our favorite is Harvey on Channel 5. We love Harvey Leonard. But, two new things. The Euro icon caught my eye last night. I had not seen that before. And the real buzz this week is spaghetti plots.
Oh, yeah. All the spaghetti plots. Yeah. So all the spaghetti plots earlier this year had the storm kind of hooking into North Carolina, except for one, which was the Euro plot, which had it going out to sea. And the weather forecasters like that. And I heard a weather forecaster explain it the other day, is that the different computer models are good for different things, such as storm intensity might be one of the computers might be good for that. One might be direction of storm, and one might be the speed of the storm in which it's traveling. And this one's going very slow. I'm gonna go out and make a bold prediction here that, and I've just been following weather for years. I'm a little concerned about Joaquin because it's going so slow. I don't think it's really established a track, but these computers are absolutely amazing to me. They're absolutely amazing as to what they can forecast and when they can forecast it. So it's not like the old days. I kind of liken it to, Rick, and like flying. If you're flying a jet today, it's all computerized. You know, it's not like a guy's, I don't think it's like a guy's up in the front of the plane trying to peer out the window and figure out what to do, right? There's none of that. Unlike the old days in World War II, when you're flying through the clouds trying to head across the English Channel and you don't know where you're going and you're flying almost blindly, you know, I figure that that's how weather used to be forecast not all that long ago, like 30, 40 years ago. And but now it's a whole different game.
The thing that concerns me about this one is how warm the Atlantic still is. And isn't it when these things stall, they gain energy from warm water? So, I think this one bears watching.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think what we'll do is we've got our coaches coming up here. And again, I remind people to check out our football preview post where we have coaches and preview program for North Shore High School football for tonight's game and Saturday's games. But we also will check in with our two coaches from tonight's Gloucester at Revere game. So we'll feature that on North Shore today. So hope you'll hang on there for that here on the program. And then we've also started a new feature. We're kind of taking little baby steps on it, where we hope to be able to get results from the soccer, field hockey, volleyball, whatever, on a daily basis. And we just started that post, but it's an infant steps that we have, and we'll be ramping that up, I think, next week as well. So we're trying to ramp this up this fall and get more coverage of the different sports and different news stories as well. So keep your eye posted on that and spread the word. And follow us on Twitter, MSO News Sports, MSO News Sports, because we often post a lot of stories and we retweet things during the day. It's hard for me to say. There's been a lot of news happening this past week and so on. So anyway, that's what we've got. Anything from you, Rick? Anything else?
I know, I just looked at some of the games, the area games to watch, and one just caught my eye randomly. Pingree at New Hampton Saturday. The Highlanders visit the defending Evergreen Clements division champions, looking to avenge last year's 69-21 loss. The Huskies top Pingree 54-48 in 2013 in one of the highest scoring games in area history. So if you're a private schooler, Pingree at New Hampton on Saturday at 6 p.m. And that's New Hampton. The New Hampshire.
Yep. All right, then, and Endicott College has their homecoming. If you're into college football, that's at noon on Saturday. So what we'll do is we'll remind you who we are. Our coaches are coming up. That would be Tony Zirilli from Gloucester High School, Lou Ciccatelli from Revere High School, and then we'll put the wraps on it here on this edition of North Shore Today.
And it's time for Fisherman Forecast with Gloucester High School football coach Tony Zirilli. And coach, looking back, this week's a little bit more pleasant than the week before. I don't think I've ever quite seen anything like that on Saturday. 61 points in the first half, but 48 by Gloucester. What's your review of that? How do you look back on that game?
Yeah, you know, I thought, you know, we tried to balance our attack a little bit more than it was the week before. And I thought our running backs ran well, and I thought our offensive line, you know, blocked well. You know, we made some adjustments right off the bat in that first series, and, you know, we stuck with that. And, you know, we made adjustments here and there. And we watched the film, and we were making some mistakes, and, you know, we got to fix that this week. But, you know, I thought overall we came to play. We set the tone on that first series, and it carried through the first half.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had a couple of changes in offense, and certainly Christian Sanfilippo getting some starting time looked pretty good in the backfield and giving you guys a little bit of an oomph there.
Yeah, we call him Brucey. I don't know. That's the kid.
Brucey?
Brucey. That's what the kids call him, so that's what he goes by here. But, you know, he came on last year as a sophomore towards the end of the year. The kid can run. He likes to hit. So on a few of those runs, he lowered his shoulder and ran somebody over, I think, on one of his touchdown runs down the sideline. The kid's just a football player and a great runner, so we had to get him in there. And, you know, first couple games, he played sparingly, and going into this, you know, this third week, we said, you know, we're in conference play. We got to get him the ball more. So we actually started him at running back, and our starting running back, Enos, we moved over to wing. And I thought that gave us a good 1-2 punch. And then we rotated Goss in as a kind of a change of pace back. And, you know, our fullbacks, Edwards and Latassa, both played well. And I think Edwards had two touchdowns and Latassa had another. So, you know, we tried to be, you know, multiple, and I thought we succeeded this week in that. And we'll just try to keep that going.
Brucey Sanfilippo's running style, at least on Saturday, looked like he always had his shoulders square to the line of scrimmage, and Coach Ingram is always pointing that out. And he always kept his legs going.
He's a tough runner. You know, we got a couple of young kids that are a tough runner. I think Edwards is the same way at fullback. He carried a few guys on an ISO we ran, I think 5 or 6 yards, and he had 4 or 5 guys on his back. But it's that leg drive. They both have that low center of gravity, that leg drive, shoulder square, running low to the ground. And those guys are tough to tackle. You know, you can bounce, you know, you see guys bounce off them because they're so compact and they're so strong. They worked at it. I'll tell you that. All summer long, the two of them have been in the weight room. They've been running with Ladoff. They do a lot of work in the offseason to get in that shape.
Coach, your offensive line, your defensive line, tell me a little bit about who looked good for you, you know, both on Saturday and then when you review the film. Maybe somebody that might be a little unsung, someone who's worked a little extra hard but did a good job for you.
You know, the funny thing is Philpott, you know, didn't catch a pass this week, but offensively and defensively at defensive end, he's one of our best players. He makes things happen in the backfield and against the defense. You know, he's constantly getting pressure on the quarterback. And on offense, you know, he can collapse down that side of the defensive line. But I'll tell you, Amaral played well, Emerson played well, and our captain, Tommy Donahue, played well. You know, all across the board, Aquapel and Schrock on the other side, they those guys played well too. I think Schrock got into it in the second half, and he really started to. I mean, one play he blocked 4 or 5 guys on one of the outside plays. So all those quick side plays, those jets, those stuff, that's Schrock out in front. So, you know, across the board, they all have things to work on. They all have things they need to get better on. But I thought they were pretty consistent throughout the day, you know, the five of them.
Beverly special teams look good against you guys. They look really good against Peabody again on Friday night.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Madden's field position, just amazing.
Kills you on it.
But you guys look much improved this week too. It looked like you found some kicking game. You've got some coverage. You actually fielded a punt. So things improving on that end.
Yeah, you know, we work on that stuff every day. You know, we spend a certain amount of time each day at practice on special teams. And, you know, testament to Coach Ingram, he's been working with Alex Militello on punting and kicking. So he's been helping us out on that part of the game. So I think they're constantly improving every day. You know, I think our kickoff team didn't do that well against Swampscott, so we're trying to ramp that up here at, you know, this week and try to get better at that. And our kick return needs a little bit of work, so we've been working on those two special teams. But yeah, you know, we work on those things.
Well, it's funny because Madden kicks these kickoffs, you know, Beverly against Peabody kicks these kickoffs 9 miles long. But then Santos gets it on the 1 yard line, brings it back. So then after that, Madden's kicking these little squibbers out to keep it away from Santos. So.
You see that a lot. You know, you kick one deep and you outkick your coverage, and then Santos or, you know, you put your good backs back there, right? So those kids tear you apart, and then next thing you know, you're out there and the coach is yelling at you, squib it, don't kick it to him, or kick it away from him. So it's always a chess match when it comes to that kind of stuff. Do you want to kick it deep, or do you want to, you know, risk the wrath of returning it on you? So it's always a chess match.
It is, and it's fun to watch. And Tony, finally, you got Revere coming up, and Coach Ciccatelli has these kids fired up. They always seem to play well first half of the season, and then injuries seem to catch up with them. But right now, 3-0, a very tough team, and I know that when Gloucester played them last, Gloucester beat them, but they play very tough. So what do you see from the films on Revere?
You know, they're always tough. They're always scrappy. They're always going to give you a fight. This year, they're good. You know, I know Lou last year when we talked going into the playoffs, we had the coin toss, and him and I talked quite a bit. And he was very excited about this team coming back. You know, it was very young. We were both kind of in the same spot at that time. We had a young team, not a lot of experience. And I think we're both on the same page right now. We're both looking at our teams as, okay, you know, you've had a year under your belt. You've gone through the turmoil of not being in the playoffs and being, you know, or getting knocked out quickly. And you learn from that and you grow from that. And I think it's the same type of team. They're coming in, they're experienced. They've got 3 wins under their belt. They're feeling great. And, you know, and we gotta go at them. We gotta take it at them first whistle to the last whistle, you know, and I think that it's going to be a battle. You know, I think he's got a good team over there, and I know they're flying high, and I think that, you know, we have to get out there and we have to set that tone on opening kickoff, whatever it is, kickoff, kick, return, and stay on them, because if you don't stay on them, you know, they're going to fight us. They're going to fight us every chance that they get.
Final question, Tony, is as we amble along, I know I'm keeping you out of here late. Final question, the first drive. You guys had a first drive against Swampscott. How important is the first drive in the scheme of things? I know, you know, you always want to have that 80-yard march, but, you know, if it doesn't work so well, what do you do?
Well, so the first drive's important, but I'll tell you, the second drive's more important because, you know, something Coach Ingram always said to us playing and coaching with him, that first drive's important, but when you go out there the second drive, if you score on that first one, don't let it be the kiss of death, right? Don't go in that second drive and think, oh, I can march down 80 yards every time and then stall out and give them the ball back with good field position. Mm-hmm. So it's really those first two drives. You want to set the tone on the first one, and on that second one, don't let that first one be the kiss of death. Keep moving the ball, keep scoring touchdowns, and don't let your foot off the pedal until the game's over. And that's what we got to keep doing.
Okay, I lied. I got one more question. Were you on the team when they scored 66 points? Was that your era?
I was coaching in that era.
Who was that they played?
That was...
Do you remember who that was? Someone from the South Shore, I
Barnstable.
Know that. Barnstable. It Barnstable. Was Barnstable. Okay. You got your kids, and you had 48 points, and I think even before that, you got a lot of your sub-varsity in the first half, and I don't think I've seen that before, so a lot of experience for those kids.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, we were up 48-13, and I think we got the ball back in the second quarter, and we started subbing some kids in at that point.
Yep.
Coach Serino is a great guy. He's, you know, first year coach, and I've been on the other end of that. You know, I still think back to my first game as a head coach playing Lynn English, and that resonates with me. Every time I'm in a situation like that, if I'm on the other end of that, you know, I think about that. I think about that game, and I think about what that meant to me. So anytime I can pull my kids out and not do that to somebody, I want to. But more importantly than that, it's about getting young kids in and playing football, because I'll tell you, that's how you build a program. You don't build a program by playing your starters for 4 quarters. If you can get your starters out and play those young kids and let them buy into the system and let them feel like they're a part of it and be a part of it on the field, that's how you build a program, and that's what I believe in. So if I have a situation like that and I can get my young kids in and get them experience, that's what I want to do.
Do the younger kids get a little respect from the older kids having played in a game like that when they come to practice?
Absolutely, and I also tell my older kids that it's not the second half off. It's the second half for you to help these guys, because these guys all week long help you mm-hmm. guys. They make you better by being at practice and getting beat on, to be quite honest, right? They're playing Scout O, Scout D, and you guys are teeing off on them. And you know, we be careful with that. But, you know, the gist of it is they're out here making you better so that when you show up on Friday nights, you've seen a good look. Well, now it's their turn. It's their turn to play. So on the sidelines, I expect you to be there when they come off the field to help them along, to give them advice, to coach them up, because that's what we do here. We coach the young kids up so that when they become seniors, that they can coach the other kids up. And that's the way it's always been under Coach Silver, Coach Ingram, and I hope to continue that here with us.
So sort of the idea, that's what team means?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what team means. And I even pulled my guys in the locker room at halftime. I pulled my starters aside, and I told them that. Mm-hmm. I was like, you guys are family. You guys help each other, and this is what second half is about.
Okay. Thanks, Tony. Good luck.
Thank you.
That's Gloucester football coach Tony Zerilli with Fisherman Forecast. I'm Rick Moore. This is MSONewsSports.com.
Revere head football coach Lou Ciccatelli is with us prior to their game against Gloucester on Friday night. And, Lou, crazy week weather-wise here. We finally got some wet weather, but you guys are out working out.
Yeah, it was. We're lucky. We're very happy to get on the field. It was pouring, raining all day, but we need to get out. And the good news is we have the new turf. We most certainly wouldn't have been able to get out here with the old mud bowl. So we're here for a good hard practice, and the boys are ready for it.
All right. Now you guys are coming off a win a week ago, and 3-0, and obviously looking pretty good. And some thoughts on your football team.
Like I said earlier in the week, I like my football team. I think we're a scrappy bunch. They work really hard. They worked hard in the off season, and 3-0 is a good start. It's paying off thus far, and it's just something that we have to keep going as a team. The coaches have to keep it going, keep the enthusiasm up, keep coaching the kids up, and hopefully good things can happen this year for us.
Well, let's pull a couple of so I would call them excerpts, let's say, out of the game from last Friday night. What players do you think stepped up and did a nice job for you?
I think, Stevie Knoll. Stevie Knoll had a monster game. He had a lot of running off tackle. He had 75 yards. He also had about eight tackles on defense. And he's my captain. He's one of our leaders. He played great, as did Danny Murphy. Danny was a leader. We had two 80-yard drives down the field, and Danny orchestrated those and did a great job with that. But the play that sticks out to me the most was in the third quarter. It could have got hairy fast. They blocked a punt. They blocked a punt. They got the ball. And at this point, we're down 14-13. Then the next play, two plays, Victor Rivera gets a key interception. And it was an interception that led to a 70-yard drive that ultimately won us the football game.
Yeah. It always helps to get the turnovers and then capitalize it. It's huge.
Yeah. It's huge. Yeah. So thus far we're 3-0. Obviously it's where we want to be, and but we most certainly know we got our work cut out for us with Gloucester coming into town. They're a very, very good football team.
I'm sure you watched the game Saturday in Swampscott, in which they rolled over Swampscott in the first half. And now, in light of what we're hearing about what happened in Swampscott, I'm not going to have you weigh in on any of that stuff. I won't do that to you, but. But that was the day after the so-called hazing incident occurred, and I'm wondering if they were a little bit deflated, Swampscott. But still, Gloucester's off to a very good start this year.
Yeah, I'm sure they were. I mean, I'm not really sure about that whole story, but if that's the case, I'm sure they were somewhat deflated. But no, make no mistake about it. Take nothing away from Gloucester. We saw them play Beverly, and even still, that game, I know they struggled a little bit, but I watched them go up and down the field. They just didn't punch it in. And they're a team to be reckoned with. They do everything right. They get off the ball very, very quickly. Their offensive line is the thing that I'm amazed with, because they all do their job. They're scooping on the backside. They're down blocking on the play side. And it looks like they've got a sea of red downfield every play. So it's going to be a game that we're going to have to make no mistakes in order to win.
How about injuries for Revere?
We got a couple of guys out. We got my guy and my starting defensive end is out. He's got a bad high ankle sprain. He'll be out this week. And I still don't have my captain, who's a two-way starter. He hasn't played this year, and we're hoping we get him back next week for Saugus. Other than that, we're okay.
Right. Coach, always good talking with you. Good luck this weekend.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Lou Ciccatelli, head football coach at Revere High School on MSONewsSports.com.
Well, there you go. Both coaches in tonight's game. And that, again, will be Gloucester at Revere. Weather permitting, and it looks like we will get the game in despite the storm. And of course, that'll be on Channel A, probably without video. If it's raining, we're not going to be able to do it. And then on Channel B, it is Beverly at Lynn English. And as Bill mentioned earlier on, the Panthers on a roll, and I don't know who's going to stop Beverly. They look really, really strong.
Yeah, and again, that's a 7 o'clock game on Channel B with Marty Smith and Tim Kearns. So. Again, we like to hear from you. If you can drop us a note, do so. Our email address is msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. Hey, everybody, have a great weekend. Try not to get too wet over the weekend. Stay dry, and we'll see you again first thing on Monday here on North Shore Today.